St. Paul prompts us to ask ourselves a good question today. Do you have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus? And to answer this question, we first have to know, well, what is the attitude that is in Christ Jesus? And at its most basic level, it's a fundamental orientation towards God and a willingness to live for Him and in union with Him, even at great cost. And Christ was the perfect example of this attitude because, as the Son of God, He was always perfectly oriented towards God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And we're adopted into this attitude. We receive it when we receive the sacrament of baptism. Because when we're baptized, we're changed at our deepest level to make communion with God possible. First, by the forgiveness of our sins, both original sin and any sins we may have committed, and then an adoption as a child of God, an adoption into the divine family. And this is a great gift that Christ has given to His church and to each of us, because it opens us up to holiness, to a lived relationship with the Lord. St. Paul, in the second reading, gives us a great description of what holiness looks like practically. He says it's being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. That's a beautiful vision for human life, of the potential that human life has, of what we can live out. And in fact, when we were baptized, we made baptismal promises to show that we intend to live this way. Each of us was asked, "Do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises?" And we, or someone on our behalf, said yes. This is how we will live. And our answer established a covenant between ourselves and God. We promised to live a life of holiness, seeking Him, and He promised to help us to do that and to open to us heaven. But unfortunately, we haven't lived up to our promises. We haven't kept them because each of us has sinned. We're like the young man from the gospel today who was asked by his father to go into the vineyard, and he said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not go. And when we sin, what it does is it turns us from life towards death. It turns us from God towards nothingness. And if we commit a small sin, something that's not very serious, it's like a small death. We call that a venial sin. If we commit a big sin, something very serious, it's like a big death because it ruptures our relationship with God. It destroys it, is how serious the sin is. But that's why it's called mortal sin. And when we betray when we sin in any way, though, whether small or big, venial or mortal, we betray our baptismal promises and we reject the gift that we have received. And if that was it, it would be a very sad story because we would have received this incredible opportunity and privilege and have lost it because we couldn't live up to it. But luckily, God in His providence has provided for us. All is not lost because God always gives us in His mercy the option to repent. And the word repentance, the Hebrew word for repentance, literally means to turn, because when we repent, we turn our back towards our sins and we reorient our lives towards God. And then we begin again to fulfill our baptismal promises, to go out into the vineyard and to work to build up the kingdom. And a fundamental and essential aspect of repentance, the thing which seals repentance and makes it effective for the forgiveness of sins, is to go to confession. Jesus knows our weakness. He knew that we wouldn't be able to be faithful to our baptismal promises, and so He gave us a remedy in this beautiful sacrament. I'm always struck with a sense of amazement and awe when I reflect on the fact that the confessional is the only place in the world that no matter what you have done, whatever you could have committed, the vilest of crimes, the gravest of sins, you can always go to the confessional and find mercy. You can find forgiveness and healing and strengthening and untold grace, all to be had for free at no cost, because the price has already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous privilege to be able to go to confession, a tremendous gift, a grace in itself. And unfortunately, many Catholics don't take advantage of this privilege. The Church requires every Catholic to go to confession at least once a year. It's one of the five precepts of the church, and the precepts are basically the baseline or the minimum for salvation. So if you haven't gone to confession in over a year, I would highly recommend you go. And if you're nervous or afraid the priest is going to judge you or yell at you or be hard on you, don't worry about it. Priests are incredibly gentle in the confessional. I've never had a bad experience. And in fact, they're often far, far less harsh on me than I am on myself. But even if you have been to confession within the past year, in all honesty, going once a year isn't enough. I would recommend at least going at least monthly, because Scripture tells us that the righteous man sins seven times a day, and those sins tend to start building up. So it's good for us every once in a while to go and sort of empty ourselves of all that weight of sin we carried around. Our Lady of Hope here, we have confessions Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. and Saturday mornings after the 9 a.m. Mass. But if those times don't work for you, you can always call the office and make an appointment, or if that doesn't work for you, you can even go to another parish. It doesn't really matter when you go to confession or where you go to confession, so much as that you go. That's the most important thing. Because when we go to confession, we bring the darkness in our lives into the light. And when we do that, it's amazing how much power that darkness loses over us. Things that we may have been carrying around for a long time, things we can never thought we could never get rid of or get past or let go of, when they're put into contrast with the light of God's love and its mercy, they become almost as nothing, because we realize how much greater God is than any sin we commit. Because he has conquered sin. He will conquer all the sins that you bring him to the confessional. That's why confession is the means to staying on the narrow path to eternal life. All the saints went to confession regularly and highly encouraged confession because they knew what the first reading tells us today. If a sinner turns from the wickedness he has committed, he does what is right and just. He shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Please God, may we all surely live.